Hi, and welcome to That's My Purse Pod, the podcast all about King of the Hill. I'm Jason.
And I'm Jimmy.
So, Jimmy, you had the chance to go to Comic-Con this past week. How was it?
Comic-Con was, it's exhausting as always. A lot of fun. So I can't complain. I did go to Hall H on Saturday. So, that you know, I got to see a lot of Marvel was there. Apple TV was there. So it was a lot of exciting things. I got a little Doom costume. They handed us all like Doom capes and masks. So now I have my outfit for Doomsday. Besides that, I'm still kind of in recovery mode.
So I know you got the whole Marvel thing that happened in Hall H. And was there anything else? Did DC even show up this year? I feel like I didn't hear anything about them.
DC did not show up, which I was surprised because we got like a new Clayface trailer like a day before Comic-Con started. No, DC wasn't there, which is a bummer. I feel like there was a lot of DC stuff. Like Dune is coming out this year, Dune 3. So there is things to talk about. No, they weren't there. I didn't get to go experience it because I ran out of time. But Hulu was there. They didn't have a full King of the Hill thing. But they did have, like, you could walk through Robotichain. So there was a little setup for that. I don't know if you got food or not, but it was just, like, it was really small, though. Because it was part of Hulu's animation block. So there was, like, American Dad and Family Guy. But this year, it was the smallest I've ever seen that, like, little activation area. So it was a quick walkthrough. I had an appointment, but it was at, like, 10 o'clock in the morning, and I also had an appointment to go do Green Lantern stuff, so I picked Green Lantern stuff, is cool. They gave me a little Green Lantern ring at the end of it. It was made out of metal. It, no powers, though.
I was going to say, does it work?
I am not. Oh, it's funny, because I had a reservation for them. My reservation, I had to give them my phone number and everything. And the day before, they call me, and they're like, here's your reservation time. Here's what time you need to be there. And at the end of the phone call, they were like, and if you don't show up, we know that the fear has taken over you or something like that. And I was like, whoa. So that was a lot of fun. I did run into a wall during that day because it was like a little escape room. And I guess I wasn't looking where I was walking. And I just like ran straight to like a wall of hay barrels. So, but it was a lot of fun. That's kind of Comic-Con there. So like I feel like I did a lot and nothing at the same time. Isn't that kind of every Comic-Con though?
Yeah, I know the one time, it's been a while since I've been to I think 2018 was like the last Comic-Con I went with you, and that was almost 10 years ago. Like, so it's been a while, though we did do D23 like 2 years ago. But I remember that Comic-Con because the convention center, and I've been to the convention center for other things, like that's a massive convention center, so they can fill it with a ton of things, and so it just gets super busy to just wander and a lot to see and a lot to buy, and everybody's in costume, and it's a lot.
Yeah, if you get overstimulated easily, then I don't know, I recommend it, but you can always take breaks. I feel like for me, I need to take like a break every now and then.
Yeah. I'm a little upset that they didn't do more for King of the Hill, but I guess it makes sense. Like last year, it makes sense that they did more because it was them coming back after being gone for 15 years. But now that it's just like another season, I could see them treating it differently.
Yeah. But like, okay. Now that I'm kind of into the new season and then I've watched the old season, but did the last season come out before Comic-Con or was it after Comic-Con?
The last season came out after Comic-Con because it came out August 20th or something like that.
Yeah. So like now that I've seen season one and I'm like into season two, like the episode we're going to talk about today, I was like, why wasn't the thing? I don't think you can spoil King of the Hill. I don't think it's a show where it's like very spoilery. You know, they're kind of just like fun segments and you kind of watch them and live through them. You know, so I was like, why wasn't things more geared towards things that happened in the episodes? It'd be cool if things were in the activation that happened in the show.
It would be interesting if they had like a virtual lawnmower, virtual Strickland propane or something like that. Or you can walk into like a Strickland propane activation and I don't know, somebody's there grilling burgers and you can walk away with the burger or something like that. I don't know. That would have been cool.
I mean, I dogged on it last, like, if you listen to that podcast where I came back from Comic-Con, you know I dogged on it. But, like, I feel like there should be more, it could have been more deep cuts. When I was there, there wasn't, like, there could have been a little boggle area where you could take a picture of the boggle championship, like, the trophy that she gets, or manger babies. Like, there could have been a little, like, it just felt like, you know, if you just looked at King of the Hill, you were like, oh, these are the things. Like, there was the riding lawnmower you could take a picture with, like an Alamo beer thing. But nothing real, like a real fan would be like, oh, these are kind of fun deep cuts, a little Easter egg. Like, I bet everyone who is a King of the Hill fan, if you saw a little, like, manger babies set up, you would definitely go there and take a picture.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's... I don't know. I just feel like our Megalomart, like, maybe have a little fake Megalomart there. There's so many things I feel like they could have done.
Let's say they gave you, like, a puppet, but only one for, like, swag. If you went to the Manger Babies activation, which one would you get?
Oh, my gosh. Well, what's the penguin's name?
Sir Reginald Featherbottom, the third, yeah. I believe.
I guess I would have to go. I feel like he's iconic, right?
Yeah. I think I'd go with Gurgle Gurgle.
Oh, but that's not even a puppet. It's just like an octopus she holds, right?
Yeah, but it's still a manger baby.
I mean, yeah, I guess there's only four manger babies, right?
Yes, there are only four. Unless you count, like, the later season when they added the Bratz doll or whatever.
Oh, no. When she, like, no, I don't. Oh, man. Yeah. Remember when the manger babies got destroyed?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man. Girl, should that be our cosplay? Should we go as manger babies? Next D23, we got to get four of us and we'll be the manger babies.
That would actually be very funny if we all, like, four of us were to get together and be the manger babies. Just to see how many people would get it would be fun. I guarantee you some people would. The few times we have gone to, like, Comic Cons or whatever together, we would always do something that we thought was obscure. But then, like, people immediately got it and wanted to take pictures with us. So, like, in 2018, when we went, I can't remember the name of the characters, but the, like, Mulan's three friends, the other three soldiers from Mulan, we were dressed as them, but when they were dressed like concubines. And, like, people immediately got what we were dressed as and were like, oh, it's Mulan. We want to take a picture with you and whatnot. And it was funny because, like, literally the very next day, while I was walking around not in costume, I saw somebody dressed as Mulan and I was like, I wish we came across you yesterday.
Oh, yeah. Oh, man. I remember that was, I feel like that was the most popular costume I've ever been in before. Like, it took us, 2 to 3 hours to walk from one end of the hall to the other end of the hall. And, I mean, it's a long walk normally, but, like, we stopped to take pictures, like, every other step almost. I was like, oh, man, this has to, I didn't think it was going to, I was like, oh, it's going to be funny. And, like, a few people will ask for a picture, but I didn't know it was going to be that popular.
Yep. 100% true story. On PopSugar.com, we were one of the top, I believe, 30 costumes from Comic-Con that year. Like, they actually had a picture of us.
Oh, man. Oh, I remember you sending this to me.
Yeah. It was really funny that happened.
Man. Yeah, that was a great one. I feel like, I don't think we'll ever top that.
No.
But manger babies might be close.
Well, then also, I don't think we were on the news that day, but I do remember us talking to, like, the local San Diego news. They were on scene and, like, interviewing random cosplayers as they were walking by.
Yeah, I remember talking to the news. And then we went back to the hotel room and we were like, we got to look at the news.
Yeah. I guess we got cut.
It was too controversial.
Yeah. It was funny because I refused to shave my beard. I trimmed it, but I refused to, like, be, like, clean shaven or whatever. So we just had to paint the makeup, like, over the beard.
That's true. But we had those fans to cover our faces. Yeah. So it wasn't.
Yep.
But, man, yeah, that was such a great one.
Yeah, good times. I think next time, either Comic-Con or D23, we should definitely go dressed as King of the Hill people.
Oh, yeah, I definitely. Well, would you want to do a deep cut, or are we just, like, the guys in the L? Because we could do that, too.
I mean, I could bring multiple costumes. Like, one day we could be manger babies, and then the next day we could be, like, the guys in the alley or whatever, and then stuff like that.
I'm trying to think of, like, what would be a really good deep cut for King of the Hill?
Jimmy Wichard.
Yeah, that... Oh man, what were those things? The probots, the propane bots.
Yes.
That Peggy makes.
Yeah, that'd be a deep cut.
That would be fun to do. Maybe we just come as like Peggy's dishes, like favorite Peggy foods that she's made.
Oh yeah, apple brown Peggy and Peggy and meatballs and stuff.
Oh my gosh!
So I feel like in order for people to get it, somebody would have to be dressed like Peggy Hill with us.
Maybe we're all Peggy Hills carrying the dishes.
Oh yeah, that could work too.
And we only like speak in Spanish. Oh, the priest from the Spanish show. That would be a good one too.
Oh yeah, that'd be funny.
Or I mean like Winklevoss. I would love to go as Winklevoss. But then people would be like, you're just a no.
Yeah, that would be a good one.
I mean, there's a great character in this episode I like to go as too. So but before we do that, but like what have you been up to this week? Like
It's been a pretty regular week for me, just pretty low key, which I like, because about a week ago or something, like I literally had something every single night. And every single day. So I was just like burned out. So it was nice to have a slow week. I did see Spider-Man, and spoilers, I cannot believe that Sadie Sink was playing Starfire the whole time. I knew eventually we would get a Marvel DC crossover. I just didn't realize what happened now.
The Teen Titans join the MCU. I mean, that's who I want though. I would love the Teen Titans to join the MCU. I love the Teen Titans so much.
Yeah. You know how much money they would probably make if they actually did make a DC versus Marvel movie?
I mean, they would make, do you think they would make all the monies? Like, do you think they would make as much money as Doomsday? Because, like, I feel like Doomsday is going to make a lot of money.
Yeah, maybe not, but they'd still make a ton of money. It'd make at least $1 billion. One thing that I do not understand why it has not happened is at least a fighting game. Why has there not been a Marvel versus DC fighting game yet?
Well, you know, there's a Marvel versus DC, or there's a Marvel DC crossover comic that's happening right now.
Oh, I did not know that.
Yeah, it might be over by now, but it's like a 4-issue thing. Hmm. And then back in the day, there was a Marvel versus DC comic book.
Yeah. Well, and then didn't they also do like the Amalgamverse at one point where it was like it was a combined universe.
Yeah.
And all the characters were like combined versions. So like there was a combination Wolverine Batman character called Dark Claw.
Yeah. That's when comics were like, we can do anything. But yeah, I mean, I feel like Spider-Man's going to make all the money too. I've also seen this. By the time we're recording this recording, I've seen Spider-Man twice. I want to go again. Like today, as we're recording, I saw it at 9 o'clock in the morning, and it was a full theater. So I'm like, Spider-Man's gonna make all the money, maybe. And then, So it's so good though. If you haven't seen it, go watch it. I loved it.
If it does not break $1 billion, I'll be surprised.
Oh, you think? I think it could hit $1 billion. I mean, I want to watch it. For the third time, like I want to go again. So that's how they make the billion. I get into the theater more than once.
Yeah. Well, on that note, I guess we can jump into King of the Hill.
And also a great thing that I watch more than once.
Yeah. Though you can do that at home, which is nice. It would be cool if you could do that at the theater though. But anyway, so this episode is season 15, episode 2. It is called Care of the Dog, obviously a pun on Hair of the Dog. And it is... So we'll get to it later, but in my mind, it is easily one of the top 5 most like emotional, heartwarming King of the Hill episodes that I can think of. You'll find out why towards the end. The episode starts with Hank at Megalomart, and this is a very common thing we saw in the original series, and it's carrying over into this revival run of Hank just being frustrated at the employees at Megalomart, you know, being young, early 20s or late teens type of people. But then this is also like a really real frustration that I experienced too. So he's at the Megalomart and like literally everything is behind plastic. So it's one of those things where you have to press the button, call an employee, they unlock the door, and then they grab you or whatever. So Hank's just wanting to get some toothpaste. So he rings the bell and he's waiting for an employee to show up. And the employee shows up and he's struggling to find the key to open the thing. And Hank's like, oh, maybe it's the key that says toothpaste on it. So he unlocks it. And Hank's like, is all of this necessary? Like, if I really wanted to steal it, I would just take it all when you open the door. And the guy pulls out his walkie-talkie. He's like, I need security to escort this item to the front, which is... So I don't know if Austin's done this yet, but San Francisco, like all of our CVSs have that where like almost everything is locked up and you have to press the button to get somebody. I remember after living in San Francisco for a year and going back to Austin and like I had to go to CVS to grab some medicine because I can't remember why, but I went to CVS and I remember just being like, oh my God, everything's just like on normal shelves. I can just grab something and go.
Yeah, everything here is also, a lot of the stuff is behind like the glass. So you have to call someone. The thing I really don't like is that, like, when you get it, they're like, okay, you got to check out now. I'm like, I'm still doing shopping. Like, I'm going to run off with this, like, one item. So it's just like, eventually I feel like we're just going to walk around the store and just, like, pick our things. And then it'll just end up at the register at the end of the thing. But yeah, I definitely feel Hank on that. I also feel Hank more, I guess the older you get, you're like, oh, yeah. Sometimes... like supermarket employees, it's just like, I don't know, the worst. Anytime I ask anyone where anything is, they're always like, did you download the app? I'm like, I need an app to like work this thing. So I just like, I need an app to like figure out where things are. So I don't know, I feel Hank on that. But also everything is behind plastic.
So when Hank leaves, he runs into Peggy and Peggy's like, oh, Hank, I'm in love. And Hank's like, oh, Peggy, I love you too, but not in public. And she's like, no, no, I'm talking about this. And so it's one of those things where the store has like an adopt a pet event outside on the, you know, the sidewalk right outside of the store or whatever. And she sees this dog named Caesar who honestly, he looks a lot like an older version of my dog. Like he clearly has maybe some health problems just by looking at him. He does look a lot like my dog, which is kind of funny. So it's like, oh, this is Caesar Salad. And the person working the adoption place is like, oh, she has 2-year-old mixed breed. And, you know, it's only got a few health issues. And Hank's like reading off the card that lists all of them. And it's just like everything you could think of, like afraid of potted plants and things like that. And it's like, oh, this dog needs a foster, but, you know, just until we can find somebody to adopt them. And it's like, oh, okay, well, are you saying that the dog needs a substitute teacher? And the employee's like, sure, that's one way to look at it. So Peggy agrees to foster it. And Hank's not thrilled because this dog just has way too many health issues. But, you know, he relents because that's what Peggy wants. And they give him, like, just this laundry list of, like, things that they have to buy. And so Hank has to go back into the store and deal with the nonsense of having employees unlock everything. We cut over to Bobby and Connie and they're driving over. It's Connie's birthday, or at least it's her birthday weekend. And so they're coming home so that they can celebrate her birthday. What winds up happening is that, you know, the divorce happened last year, or at least the divorce has been public since last year. And so they're a little worried about, you know, how crazy things might go. And Bobby's like, oh, things will be fine. He's saying, you know, he's going to go ahead and pay for all the dinner just to kind of show how mature he is and everything like that. They get to the house and Min calls him the bag man, which Bobby is happy about. He's like, oh, she called me a man. Connie picks up on the fact that Khan's not there because, you know, last season we saw that he was living in the garage, but the garage looks like nobody's living in it. It looks like a normal, clean garage. We learn that Khan is living with Bill, and Khan and Min are incredibly bitter towards each other to the point where they literally created a schedule for Connie's weekend to make sure that they could both spend time with Connie, but not with each other. So that should give you an idea of how terrible things are in this broken relationship. A few quick thoughts. So a lot of these episodes were made last season. So if you remember prior seasons of King of the Hill, those seasons were like 20, 22, sometimes like maybe I think one or two seasons were 25 or 26 episodes. These episodes are 10. So realistically, you could see season 15 as just being a continuation of season 14, like season 14 and 15 were one season. And a lot of these episodes were actually leaked before season 14 even came out, because the storyboards were leaked and it showed like Khan living with Bill and them adopting a new dog named Caesar and stuff. So I don't know. I just find it interesting that like this was supposed to be one season, but they split it into two.
I think I only know one. I didn't really see any leaks. The only thing I was like, I remember hearing about for season one was like the cooking competition show.
Uh-huh.
I haven't seen it yet, so I don't know if it's in this season or it was just scrapped. But that's the only thing I remember from this one. I really like this episode. This episode might become one of my favorites. This one, I love when, like you said, when Hank's looking at the like Caesar's, all his conditions and he's like, oh, there's a second card because the first card is so filled. And it's like, what, allergic to the sun and all that stuff. So I really love that. Oh man, I love Caesar salad. That's such a great name for a dog too. I was like, okay, maybe my next pup, Caesar salad.
Yeah. And I think the divorce isn't really fresh still, because technically they've already been divorced for 2 years. But now that they're public about it, they are more open about being toxic towards each other. So I guess in that sense, it's still very fresh. And so we're starting to see that kind of toxic behavior and how it's affecting Connie, because they abhor each other. They hate each other. They just can't be in the same like physical vicinity of each other without fighting. Min even says like, you have to stay on your side of the street, the Con.
Yeah. Oh man, I feel like I called it. I don't know, because I didn't know about this leak, but I felt like I said it last time that Con was going to end up living with Bill. So I was like, oh, that's the only logical thing, right? If you want to keep him in the neighborhood, he's got to live over there. It is funny though, the like schedule to like, I guess it's like a weird custody thing. Like Connie, like on Monday, Tuesdays you have her, Wednesday, Thursdays I have her. So I don't know. I can't be surprised that they're angry at each other. You kind of see it even before the new season starts, like how Con kind of holds Min back. Like, I mean, there's moments where she can be very materialistic too, but I feel like he is the one that drives. So like, we need to project this kind of family and we got to be like this. And then that's the only way we're going to be successful for like these kind of people. And like we talked about Min before, like there are times where she's like, I just want to let loose and have fun. And you can really tell she would really get along with the other people on Raining Street. Like if Khan would just let her like relax a little bit, enjoy.
Agreed. Yeah, I think that's probably what made it. I mean, hopefully they have an episode in a future season that kind of explores it in more detail and we can figure out why their marriage fell apart. But I think that's an astute observation for why it happened.
Oh, what do you think of his voice, though? How do you feel about Khan's voice? Like,
I feel like it got better, but it's still not quite there.
For me, it feels like it's not. I don't know when this was recorded. Like, is this recorded after or they just keep going straight through? It feels like they took a break and then they came back. But it feels a little better now because it feels less of a like parody of the original Khan voice. And it's kind of just like, he's like, I'm doing my own. There's the Khan-isms though. He throws it at the end. But I just feel like now it's not as harsh. It doesn't. Or I've just gotten used to, you know, like, what is it? You just get desensitized to it. We've heard it so much that now I'm like, okay, I'm used to it now. It was just very shocking in the beginning. It didn't hit me as hard this time.
Maybe I need to listen to the original episode again. To me, it felt better than when we heard it in season 14, but it still doesn't feel like, you know, the Con that we heard in the original 13 seasons, but it doesn't bother me as much as it did when I first heard it in season 14.
Yeah.
So Bobby initially was going to stay with Min, like, you know, he's carrying suitcases and bringing them into the house with Min, with Connie. And Min's like, oh no, you're not staying here. And so, you know, Bobby's being respectful and doesn't want to, you know, break the rules. So he just decides he's going to stay at his parents' house. And he walks in and Caesar just immediately starts barking at Bobby. Bobby has no idea that they got a new dog. Bobby makes a comment about Lady Bird and Hank's like, oh, it's just nothing like Lady Bird. Hank clearly does not like Caesar. He thinks Caesar is essentially a possum with a collar on it. The dog. So I don't know. This whole thing is just kind of funny. And I think it talks to Hank's character because, you know, Hank was super proud of having Lady Bird being this, you know, hunting dog, this majestic, pure blood, Georgia bloodhound. Now he has like this yapper, small dog with all this health problems, mixed breed and everything. So, you know, this is just like anti-Hank. Peggy is like getting the medicine prepared for Caesar. And it's like, oh, Caesar needs to use a bathroom because he's already leaking. Hank, can you take her for a walk? And then he's like, oh, I don't want the guys to see me with the dog. And then it cuts to like Hank with the dog outside and the dog has shoes. And they're like, why is the dog wearing shoes? It's like, oh no, they're for his sensitive pads. So why does the dog need an umbrella? Well, you know, he's sensitive to light. And Hank's embarrassed and it's just so funny. And then of course we start to see Bill and Con interact. And Bill actually seems like a pretty good roommate to Con, which I guess it also just kind of speaks to Bill's character a little bit, because it's like when Bill's a good guy, he's a really good guy. Bill, I think it's been said before, maybe even on this podcast, that Bill is his own worst enemy. When he wants to be a good guy, he's a good guy.
Wait, Bill?
Bill, yeah.
Oh, you don't think he's a good guy?
I think he is, but he also can be a bad guy. Like the episode Bill's House, where the Hills get like super sick and Bill takes care of them or whatnot. And then when all of a sudden they start to get better, Bill started to feel bad because like they didn't need him anymore. So he was going to poison them.
Oh, I mean, haven't we all thought of that though, right? No, I just mean like, I get what you're saying. I don't know. I always feel like Bill is like loyal to a fault. Almost like sometimes he's the doormat of them just to be a part of the group. So I don't know though. I mean, like we're going to talk about it a little later, more Bill stuff. So hold on. But there's like a whole part of Bill where I'm like, oh, wow. So, but I think that happens a little later in the episode.
Yeah. But ultimately, yeah, when Bill's a good guy, he's a great guy. Bobby is planning everything, you know, for the dinner. And he knows now there's a split schedule. He's going to have to do two reservations, but he's still set on paying for the whole dinner. At this point in time, you know, Connie's in her room. Bobby's in his room. Connie's not happy about things. She's like, oh, all my dad's been doing is texting me bad yo mama jokes. And as they're talking on the phone, Connie, like, it's like, oh, you remember when you were young and you used to sneak into the room and whatever? And Bobby was like, yeah, but I can't do that now. I don't want to disrespect your mom. And then there's a tap at the window and it's like the reverse thing. Now we're Connie sneaking in. We cut over to the Hill bed and Caesar's sleeping in the bed, which I could absolutely relate to because Winry sleeps in my bed. And it's like, even though she is such a small dog, she takes up a surprising amount of space to where you're practically sleeping on the edge of the bed. But Hank's not thrilled about that. And Peggy is saying she actually wants to keep Caesar, whereas Hank is on the opposite side of that, where he wants to get rid of Caesar. And so Hank decides, you know, to take Caesar out of the room and put him down. As soon as he puts him down the hallway, he goes to Bobby's room and starts barking. And so Hank's like, oh, let me check on it. Because he hears like noise coming from Bobby's room. So he thinks, oh, Bobby woke up or whatever because of Caesar. So he's going to check on him. He opens the door and he sees Bobby and Connie fooling around and yells and stuff. And I like, oh, Hank is like, oh, what were you doing with the door unlocked and the lights on? But Hank is actually comes around to the fact of Caesar being a good dog because Caesar's barking at Connie. And so Caesar's realizing, oh, you're a guard dog. And that like makes Hank a little happier. Like, oh, this dog's useful. Then all of a sudden Min shows up in the window and freaks out. Then Con shows up and it becomes a whole thing. And Bobby is like, oh, we weren't doing anything. We're just warming each other up. I mean, Min is asking Connie to come back in, but Connie doesn't want to because all Min does is complain about Con and insult Bobby. Con invite Connie to stay over with her and Bill. Connie asks if Bobby could come too and kind of plays, you know, to his emotions, say, cause you're the cool dad, unlike mom. And Con reluctantly agrees. And it's funny because like Hank's like, well, you could take the sheets with you. And then I like how they go into the house and they're like, wow, your house doesn't look depressing. But then they still have like Lenore's sheets or whatever. And then it shows Connie sleeping in the bed with both Con and Bobby sleeping in separate sleeping bags on the floor.
I don't know. I mean, like, I thought it was funny, like the reversal of like now Bobby and Connie are like fooling around in the room. But it wasn't anything crazy, everyone. Like, I mean, you guys have seen the episode. But, like, I thought it was funny seeing the rehearsal of it. And then, like, I love when he's, like, with the lights on.
Yeah.
So, that was hilarious. I also love that suddenly everyone is at the window. Like, Min and Connor just, like, show up. And they're all at the window. And it's really great. Because this is, like, the moment where Hank's, like, Caesar salad is going to be, is part of this family. And, I don't know. I really love that. I love the sheets part at the end, though. I thought that was funny.
Yeah. And I like when they go to the house and they say, oh, Bill, you're not, your house doesn't look depressing. Because we've seen glimpses of Bill's house throughout the original run. And I think we even saw some of it in the beginning. Like, remember when Bill was a shut-in and everything. And Bill's house is always a mess. So, yeah, it did look like, you know, pretty normal house when we were there.
I love that he hands Lenore's stuff. Like, he still has it. I thought he got rid of that by now. And he's like, if it fits me, it's going to fit you for sure.
Yeah. Which I feel like is a callback to, like, Pretty Pretty Dresses when he wore all of Lenore's stuff. But I also thought, yeah, I thought he moved on. He got rid of all of it, but I guess not.
I thought there was an episode where they burned it all. Or, like, they burned some of it, right? Or was it just the one dress?
Don't remember, to be honest. I know he took off the dress at the end of that episode.
Oh, I thought they burned it. I thought there was an episode where he like was like, I'm free, and he kind of got rid of all the stuff.
I think in one of the episodes last season, when they did the book burning, he threw away his wedding album.
Oh, maybe that was it. I like the callback. It's funny. You know, Lenore's like old bathrobe. But I don't like it as like a regressing of Bill. I want Bill to always be moving forward. So this is kind of just like, oh, Bill, we need to get rid of this stuff.
Yeah, I guess hopefully that was just like a callback versus being like something that we see a lot of this season. So we go to the house and Hank is watching baseball with Caesar. And then all of a sudden, Dale jumps in pretending to be a robber, ski mask and all. And Caesar jumps and bites Dale's leg. And we see Hank pull up like a clipboard because he's testing the dog. And it's like, okay, cool. You respond to burglars. And what's funny, we see like mailman. Which is weird. Do you feel like Hank wouldn't want Caesar to attack the mailman? That we saw Peeping Toms is another thing that they tested. And then like burglars. And then the next thing is Jehovah Witnesses. But during the bite attack, Caesar loses a tooth. And so they run and take Caesar to the vet. And as they leave, they see Boomhauer dressed up like a Jehovah's Witness. And he's like, oh, the test is off. I got to take Caesar to the vet.
Well, I'm glad we're training Caesar. Like, Caesar has that animal instinct, you know, to do that. But I also love when Dale hits, he doesn't hit Caesar because Caesar's like on his leg, but when the tooth comes out and then how Hank is like, we got to take him to the vet. And he kind of like coddles him like a little baby and he picks him up and they're like, runs out the door. So it was just like, oh man, I really love it. I don't know. I guess we always knew Lady Bird was that. I guess I just didn't remember. But I guess they wouldn't have taken her when they went overseas.
Yeah.
I guess I always knew she was dead, but like, I really love Hank with the dog. I think that's classic Hank. And I think he needs, whenever it was with Lady Bird, he would always like, it feels like break the Hank mold. And he lets himself loose and he's like more caring, more loving, and just like kind of lets himself be like a more emotionally open person, like in the dog dancing episode.
Yeah.
So I really love Hank with the dog. I feel like I need that.
Yeah, I mean, I think one of the few episodes where you see Hank cry and through the entire run is when he thinks Lady Bird might have rabies. So, yeah. You know, that's like one of the few times you see Hank just really let his guard down and be emotional when it comes down to his dog. And also, fun fact, Chihuahuas were actually bred to be guard dog. Like, you would think, like, no, because of how small they are, but they were bred to be guard dogs, not attack dog. Their job was not to, like, run and take down somebody and, you know, tear their throat out or whatever. Their job was, they're small enough to where they can get, you know, under things and get through things, and they run really fast and whatnot. And they bark really loud. They bark consistently. They tend to follow whoever that, like, the intruder is. So it lets you know who's there. And, you know, they were bred cat palaces, can, you know, Aztec days or whatever it was. So, you know, the guards would be able to, oh, there's an intruder, and follow the dog barking to find them.
Yeah.
So, you know, if you ever wanted to know, and this, the dog does seem to be at least part Chihuahua. If you've ever wondered why Chihuahuas bark so much, that is one of many reasons why they do it. We cut over to Bobby and Connie, and Con is upsetting Connie by trashing Min, because Connie loves both of her parents. She doesn't want to hear either of her parents trash the other parent. This is one thing I love about Bill, because I am a huge fan of, like, the fluffy Japanese pancake. I don't know if that was what they were supposed to be, but that is absolutely what they looked like. Bill comes in saying, like, oh, I made jiggly pancakes. Con talks about how he's got to get birthday present, and Bobby's like, oh, I'll go with you. And Con reluctantly allows them to, because, you know, Connie's emotionally manipulating him. As they're going, Con breaks down in the car just emotionally about, like, how he hates Bobby because his life sucks. You know, he lost his marriage, he lost his house, and then now, like, Bobby is dating Connie again. But I like how Bobby just, like, takes it on the chin. He doesn't take it personally, and he even still tries to help Con get through all this stuff. We cut to the vet. Hanks makes a comment about, like, oh, when we get through all this, I'll give you a nice tri-tip. And the vet's like, actually, I think the dog's going to be eating smoothies forever. And Hank's like, well, what is, you know, how is he supposed to get his protein? Like, you know, he's a growing dog. He needs that. It's like, or I think this dog is done growing. The cloudy eyes, the loose skin, the general bad odor. This dog has to be at least 10 years old. Peggy's like, wait, the people at the adoption agency such as too. It's like, oh, that's what they say about all dogs, so that you can adopt them. I like how the vet's like, it's like how I tell people I chose to become a vet instead of saying I failed medical school. At this point, this is when Hank is like, okay, I want to return Caesar.
I think that's valid, right? I mean, like, they lied about the dog's age. I think it's a valid reason. It's sad, but it's valid. And they were just hosting the dog anyway.
Well, I think the thing is that there's a lot of senior dogs, and people prefer puppies. So a lot of the senior dogs just don't get adopted. There's actually a nonprofit here in San Francisco called Muttville that only adopts out senior dogs. Like, I understand you want a puppy and a young dog or whatever, but, you know, senior dogs need love too. And I guess that's why they lie about it. It's just to, like, get somebody to adopt them.
I mean, Caesar, you can look at Caesar salad and be like, I don't think this bumps too. But, yeah. I don't know. I guess, again, I feel like I'm always like, we'll talk about it later. But, I mean, I understand how Hank's feeling, but we'll talk about that later in the episode.
Mm-hmm.
I have a line that I really love, like when they're at Bill's house, he's like at the jiggly pancakes, and then Bobby and Connor leaving, and he's like, "We're like, I hope you like jiggly," and then Bobby hits his belly. He's like, "You know she does."
That one was funny, and you know, Con didn't like that.
I love that. I really love this. I don't feel like it's a new Bobby, because he's like helping Con out and being supportive. I feel like that was always Bobby. Mm-hmm. Like, that kindness, I think, because now he's older, and it's just like, you know, when you get older and your, like, relationship with your family, like, your parents change, it's like no longer, it's more like a friendship almost. And yeah. I feel like now it's like more of a peer thing, where he's like, I'm older, we're both adults. Like, let me give you some advice, or let me know how it's coming from my perspective. I love when he's like, what do you need me to do? And God's like, push me out of the car into traffic. It's just, I don't know. Those little things are making this episode one of my favorites so far. This new era of King of the Hill. I'm never going to look at Jiggly Pancakes the same.
And those are, like, my favorite things. So usually you have to go to Japan for them. Like, every once in a while in San Francisco, we'll have a restaurant that makes them, and then they go out of business. So it's like,
But they're not easy to make. Like,
they aren't.
They're basically souffles, and, like, to make four. Like, Bill made four.
Uh-huh.
So, I mean, like, whatever Con is doing over there at Bill's place, that's, like, uplifting Bill's spirit. I don't know, but keep it going. Because, like, to crank out four Japanese fluffy pancakes, that's a skill.
One of the restaurants we went to in Japan years ago, you know how sometimes a restaurant will have, like, a plexiglass window or whatever, where you can kind of look into the kitchen and watch. So, like, they would have somebody, it almost looked like a science experiment, watching the chefs, like, make the fluffy pancakes and whatnot.
Yeah. Oh, man, maybe we should start our own restaurant called Jiggly Pancakes.
There you go. I like that idea.
I think, oh, man, maybe run for it. That's our idea, everyone. Don't steal it.
Mm-hmm.
Nah, just kidding. If you want it, you can have it. Just give us some free pancakes as a thank you.
Yep. So before we get to the best part of the episode, or what I consider one of the best parts in the series, really, let's go ahead and visit Bobby and Khan. So they're at the bakery trying to get cakes and stuff. And Khan's just losing his mind because he's like, I want 100 roses. This isn't 100 roses. And the guy's like, I told you on the phone, we can't fit 100 roses on a cake. And I'm like, I'm looking at him like, yeah, like you wouldn't be able to write anything if you put 100 roses on the cake, if you could. And Khan's just losing his mind and, you know, Khan asks Bobby what he's going to give Connie, and he's like, oh, I'm going to give a citrine necklace because that is her birthstone, apparently November. It's like, I'm glad she wasn't born in April because then I'd have to buy her a diamond. And then Khan's like, oh, that's what I'll do. I'll buy her a diamond and that'll show up, man, and stuff. And that's when Bobby like gets real with Khan. And it's like, look, the only thing Connie really wants is for you to stop fighting with men. Like, she just wants to spend time with you too. You know, Khan really takes it to heart. And I think, you know, this is really showing Bobby how mature he is and whatnot, and how much he looks after Connie, because he's like, he has no problem. This guy who always insults him, he has no problem just like almost helping him. I mean, also, he's also helping Connie, but he's helping him in a way too. So,
yeah, I've made cakes before. That used to be my old like living. 100 roses on a cake? That's a lot of frosting, everyone. Because those roses are made out of buttercream. I don't know. I feel like that cake would not be delicious. It'd be insane looking, right? Like 100 like swirly circles on top of a cake.
Yep.
But what I've always learned is the customer is right. So I would have just shoved 100 small roses on that thing.
Yep.
But I thought that was funny. Yep. And you know, they walked out without even picking up that cake. Like, they walked out of that store without even like, he ordered a specific cake and then they just left. Like, that guy made that cake. I hope, I bet there was a deposit, but still. Yeah.
Like, it's like, I hope in the next few hours, somebody else is just like, I have an emergency. I need a cake for my daughter, Connie. And then they're like, well, I have a surprise for you.
And they're like, with a reasonable amount of roses on it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, one of the most heartwarming parts of the episode. So we get back to Hank. Peggy comes in and says, well, I just heard from the adoption agency. They found a family that might be interested in adopting Caesar. And Hank's like, good. And then Peggy leaves. She's clearly sad because she wants to keep Caesar. All of a sudden, Caesar comes in with something in his mouth. And Hank's like, oh, what are you eating now? It might be something you're allergic to. And he's like, oh, I haven't seen this in a long time. Caesar apparently found one of Lady Bird's old toys. And then so Hank kind of looks at it. It's like, let's go for a walk. And they go to the pet cemetery. And Hank apparently, you know, has like a gravestone for Lady Bird. And so he's like, oh, you know, I want you two to meet each other. It's like, I, you know, it's never my intention to replace you or whatever. And, you know, then he lets, he's like, oh, Caesar brought this for you. And he puts the toy on the grave and lets Caesar run out and play. And then he's like, Hank has like a really big heart to heart with Lady Bird. It's like, it's not that I don't like Caesar. It's just that he's like, he's old and I don't know that I can go through this again. Like, losing, because, you know, he knows it doesn't have a lot of years left. So he's like, I don't know if I can go through losing another dog, but Peggy seems to love him and he's growing on me. And what was it he said? He's like, if you approve of me adopting Caesar, don't come back to life. And then so obviously nothing happens. So he's like, good. And then, you know, Hank puts the leash on Caesar and they walk away. And the last shot is the toy on Lady Bird's grave. So I'm like, I think anybody who's lost a dog and got a new dog knows exactly what that feels like. So
yeah, that's what I was going to bring up when they're at the vet thing. I was like, I understand what Hank is like, doesn't want to adopt a senior dog because he did lose Lady Bird. And it's kind of just like, I don't know, to lose another dog, because Caesar Salad doesn't have a lot of time because he's 10. Just kind of, it's like, oh, it's going to be tough. And I feel like at one point you're like, I don't know if I want to do another dog or not. Mm-hmm. And especially because like there was no plan to keep Caesar Salad. It was kind of, no. Remember Peggy was like, this is my substitute teacher calling to like pass all this knowledge on and then he will go out to the world and like be a better dog. But I feel like it just shows how much Hank needs a dog. You know, mm-hmm. needs that thing. Like, this pup that he had no intention of keeping and didn't really enjoy, like, has every problem in the world. It's just like Hank was able to bond with him. Like, it was very sad seeing like Lady Bird's grave there, tombstone. And I love that. I really love when they get there and then Caesar's helmet's kind of like wants to run around. And he puts a little visor on Caesar's head so he won't get hit by the sun. It was great. And then I, again, like, this is just going back to how much Hank loves dogs. He said something that was, like, not going to happen. And, like, Lady Bird wasn't going to rise from the dead. This isn't that kind of show, people. So he wanted Caesar in his life. So.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Well, and I think it was the perfect send-off for Lady Bird, too, because I think that was something a lot of people were like, what happened to Lady Bird in season 14 and stuff. So it was the perfect send-off. And, yeah, it was a great scene. I think it's one of the best scenes in the whole series.
It is. And it's like, it's one of those things where I feel like I felt like this way with Futurama. I feel this way with, like, King of the Hill. It's a funny show, and you're laughing, you're having a good time. And that's like, then there's these moments where it's like, whoa, this really hit me emotionally. Like, it feels like life is happening in this show. That, like, we're having jokes and we enjoy, and it gives something like this more dimension to me. Like, it's just like, you're going to have a good time, but you're going to feel the feels every now and
then. Yeah. Speaking of Futurama, if anybody wants to ugly cry, watch the episode Jurassic Bark. Like, that is the episode that's going to make you ugly cry.
That's so hard. Like, I think I've seen that 20 times, and I don't think I make it through without tearing up.
Yeah. Like, you have to have a heart of stone or just absolutely hate dogs to, like, not react to that episode. But yeah, so that was just one of the best moments in the season, I think. We wrap up the episode at dinner. You know, they're going to this one restaurant, and I think Bobby assumes, and Connie as well, assumes, like, this is one of two dinners, so they're going to have this dinner, and then they're going to have the next dinner tomorrow or whatever. They get there, and then they are shocked to see that both Khan and Min are there. Apparently, Khan called Min and kind of said that, you know, he wants her to be there at the dinner, and apologized for the things that happened in the marriage. And it was funny, because Min kind of, you know, dug into the wound or whatnot, and you could tell that Khan wanted to fire back, but then Bobby gave him a look like, don't do it, you know, they'll ruin a birthday. So then Khan relented and was just like, yeah. And so they had a nice dinner together, and it was funny because they're like, oh, we ordered the whole menu since Bobby said he was going to pay for everything. And then they both make fat jokes at Bobby's expense. And then apparently Khan buys the citrine necklace for Connie. Khan stole the idea from Bobby. And so Bobby obviously can't give her a necklace. Like, it looks weird. And maybe it looks like he is mimicking or something like that. So instead, Bobby improvises and sings, like, his own rendition, parody, whatever you want to call it, of I Want It That Way by the Backstreet Boys. But he, like, belts it out loud enough to where the whole restaurant could hear him. But, you know, it was still cute and nice and whatnot. And then Connie acknowledges that he knows that Khan stole the idea from Bobby because Bobby left his browser tab open that was like, it said November birthstone or whatever. And it ends with them having a nice dinner. So, you know, things ultimately ended well for everybody in this episode.
Yeah, like, working my way backwards, I love that Bobby allowed Khan to have that idea. Even when Connie was like, I know it was your idea, he was like, no, it was his. Because he really wants... And it's sweet because he really wants Connie to be happy. And then the way to make her, like, to give her some happiness, like, to help her parents get along and just, like, have their moments, even at his expense. So I really love that. I love that the search was, it like, what, November birthstone necklaces, how much? I do that, too, every now and then, where I'm like, how much is this going to be, this present? I mean, I love that. The belting out of the, like, I Want It That Way, but with Connie's birthday in it. I love, because it's the comedic side of Bobby. That's the improv. You can't take the improv out of kid, right? He's going to be that improv kid all the time. And at first I was worried because it looked like Connie was, like, getting embarrassed. But at the end of the song, she was like, that's Bobby. That's why I love him. Like, you know, only Bobby is going to do, like, something like this.
And make it work.
Oh, yeah. The restaurant was cheering for him. They were, like, so excited for him. And, yeah, that whole moment was great. And then at the very end where they bring out the lobster, and Khan's like, I don't even like lobster, but I ordered it anyway.
Oh, that's such a con thing to do, though.
So, I mean, oh, this episode, it's, I didn't know how I was going to feel, like, just the new era of King of the Hill, which is, I'm calling this, like, new two seasons. I didn't know if any of these episodes would break into, like, the classic rotations for me, like, the ones that I really love, like, the ones we talked about at the beginning of our, this podcast journey. But this one I feel like is in the rotation. I really love this one so much.
Yes, this is immediately, like, one of the best episodes. Like I said, I mean, it has one of the best moments in the entire series up to this point. And it was just overall a well-written episode. Like, yes, everybody's a little older, things are different, but it still very much seems like King of the Hill.
Oh, yeah, it has the funny comedy moments, it has the heartwarming moments. It just, I feel like this is going to be an instant classic. Like, if you're a King of the Hill fan, you're going to be like, I gravitate toward this. This is going to be a repeat for me, for sure.
Yeah, and Caesar is, like, the best dog, too. He's just such a little gamp. Like I said, he looks very similar to my dog. Not one-to-one look-like, but very similar.
I feel like we're going to get Caesar plushes, right? This is a King of the Hill is in, like, a new era where we get merch for everything. We got to get Caesar plushes.
Yeah, or at least a Funko. Like, I have a Hank Hill Funko right now. So I'm like, maybe they'll have a Caesar Funko or something.
Like a little tiny Caesar to go along with them.
Yeah.
If they do a Hank Funko with Caesar, Hank has to have the umbrella, right?
And then
Caesar has to have the shoes on, the little booties.
Yeah. But overall, this episode, easily a 10 out of 10 for me.
Oh, for sure. I mean, like, I've gushed over this episode this whole time. Instant classic. I mean, like, this is what I'm going to go back to when I'm like, I want to rewatch King of the Hill. It's not going to be one I recommend to people right away. I'm like, because you got to get the backstory of Lady Bird first.
Mm-hmm.
And then once we get through some Lady Bird episodes, I'm like, now we can watch this one because you're going to appreciate it way more.
Yep.
That with my 100 rose cake. That's the night.
I'm going to order 100 rose cake just to see what the response is.
Sir, there's not enough room on this cake.
Just make a bigger cake.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, you have anything else?
No, I'm excited to continue my journey through this season. If all the episodes are as good as this one, I'm excited.
Yep, I agree. Well, join us next time as we talk about episode 3. But until then, I am Jason.
And I'm Jimmy.
Bye.
Bye.